Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday at noon to have conversations and answer questions large and small. Today we have an encore visit with Peter Serko, who is an Islander who has produced a four-day event in recognition of World AIDS Day, which is going to happen this Thursday, November 29th, through Sunday, December 2nd. Welcome, Peter.
Thanks. It's great to be back.
Yes, good to have you.
And When you say the four-day event, I just think, wow, what a crazy thing to do.
What was I thinking?
Yeah. Well, I tend to jump into things like that with just like when I did my solo performance play. I'd never acted, I never performed before, and I just did it. And so sometimes it's just better to just do things, and so that's what I did.
I think with a lot of the important things in life, if we actually knew what we were getting into, nothing would happen.
Right. One of the things that we were trying to get across in this whole thing is that is get people to step out of their comfort zone and to take action and to do something, and with the idea that one person can make a difference, and that's what we want to do. And so that's what I've done. I've stepped out of my comfort zone and tried to do something, and I think I know we've already made a difference, and we haven't even done anything yet, really. it hasn't happened, but we've made a huge difference.
Tell me about that. What sort of difference do you think you have made?
Well, I'll just give you an example from last night in our conversation. I was on the radio here at VOV.
KVSH 101.9 FM.
Yes, Kathy Scheffel, a woman who was on the show, who I've known for many, many years, said that, when I invited her to be part of the show, I invited her to come on Eric's show, she said, all of a sudden I started remembering all these people that I hadn't thought about in many years. And that's kind of what's happening. People are just remembering things that they had forgotten and thought about, and people that they thought about. For example, Kathy said that she remembered Tom Silva, one of the people that we're honoring in our art display at VCA.
And this is one of the people we lost to AIDS.
Right, Tom. And so she said, Tom bought my first car from me. And it gives people a chance to think back to something that they may have forgotten and reminisce. And for a lot of people, it's a good thing. It's a painful period, of course, but it's also it's a good thing. It's triggering memories and good memories and things that happened that, again, people stepping out of their comfort zone. And we were talking last night about people, taking care of each other, on Vashon.
When they had AIDS.
Somebody would be sick and a group of friends would help them and take care of them because maybe their family wasn't around, or maybe their family had disowned them, which was a very common thing to have happened. And so it became a circle of friends who took care of people. So it's been good in that guy.
Your celebration, I kind of hate to call it a celebration, recognition of World AIDS Day.
Yeah, we're calling it commemoration now. It was a word I found someplace in reference to, and I thought commemoration, that's the right word to use.
Yes, okay, so the commemoration has reignited a sense of community among some folks who were here in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah, it has. It really has. And like I said, they're painful memories, but also it's just remembering a time when people really came together and rallied around each other, and now you can reflect on it and see some of the progress that's been made.
At that time, was the sense of community and the coming together to help one another confined to the gay community on Vashon?
I don't think so. One of the interesting things that happened was that kind of prior, and I'm making a generalization as a straight man who doesn't really know a lot about the community, but my observation and from what people have told me is that kind of prior to AIDS, gays and lesbians really didn't associate with each other. They were just two separate groups, and they didn't really work together. And I don't know if there was animosity, but just they were two separate groups. AIDS brought them together. And lesbians and women in general were very, very important in the activist movement, and also important part of the caring community. And so it really brought those two communities together and to work that. And I think that that's continued. I think Vashon, a lot of people rallied, and the medical people here on Vashon, the healthcare people, you know, supported people.
Oh, that's
unlike
great.
What you know was happening elsewhere.
True.
Dr. Weisfenning, who's no longer with us, but you know, he took care of a number of people, and I know a number of people were taken care of at the health center. So that was a very positive thing, because in many places that was not the case.
True. I was in the Midwest, and it was not the case.
Yeah, yeah.
Medical professionals, yeah, at that time were backing off from doing surgery for AIDS patients.
Sure,
like
yeah,
that.
People were afraid, you know, or people who had died, nobody would bury them. You know, funeral homes wouldn't accept AIDS patients. So it was, it was a difficult time all the way around.
So in 2018, you, Peter Serco, have pulled together at least four events that are coming up this weekend, but also you've been working with students at the high school art and education about AIDS and that time period. What have they done with that?
Well, I have to say that the working at the high school with the students is probably the most important and gratifying part of the whole thing. And for a number of years, I wanted to bring the story of AIDS to younger folks. And because young people, younger generations don't know anything about what happened. They know something about HIV and AIDS, the science of it and the prevention of it, because they learn in school, but they don't really know anything of the historical and cultural context of what happened and the bigotry and the marginalization and the finger pointing and just awful things that had happened. And so I wanted to find ways to do that. And I was able to do that with this, with the art exhibit that we're doing at VCA. And what I originally wanted to do was to do it with adults. I thought, you know, I'll get a bunch of island artists together and we'll figure out who died from AIDS on Vashon. And we'll draw some portraits. So we'll do some art inspired by just that time period. And then I thought, well, how about if I tried that with students instead? And so I contacted Kristen Dellen, the art teacher at the high school, right at the end of the last school year. And I pitched the idea to her, and she said, yeah, that sounds great. I'd love to do it. And we were really off and running. So at the beginning of the school year, I went into the class, and we watched a film. We talked a lot, and I shared with them some of the art from the activist movement. Art was very, very important to the AIDS activist movement. We were off and running, where I was, you know, I made available to them the biographical information that I gotten on people who had died, and they just started working. It's been really, really impressive.
So you've been working with high school students for the entire school year.
Yeah, we started, you know, in October. You know, I was there, I've been there probably six or eight times in the course. I don't want to be around too much, because they're actually working, and they don't want to, you know, be hanging around looking over their shoulder. nor would I mean, as an artist. So I definitely don't like people looking over my shoulder. So, I just popped in every once in a while. I made some food for them a couple times. And I brought a speaker in to talk with them, a woman who lives here on Vashon, Dana Scherholz, who was an AIDS activist, involved with ACT UP, and a photojournalist. And she documented many of the protests, and she's been involved in activist movements all over the world. And so she came in and talked to them and showed some of her work. And so that was really, eye-opening and encouraging for them. So
what have they produced? What do you see these kids creating?
Well, some of them, there's kind of two tracks in the exhibit. There's the recognition of the people who died of AIDS on Vashon. And then there's the activist sort of art approach. And so a few of them have gravitated to the activist art. and have created some pieces that depict some kind of activist. For example, one person did something that talks about demonstrates the political funerals that were part of the activist movement. A political funeral would be this particular political funeral.
That's not easy to say.
Political funeral was for a fellow named Mark Fisher, and it occurred in Greenwich Village in New York. And what they did was, after they took him out of the church or wherever they had the memorial service, they took his casket with him in it, and they paraded it down the streets of New York City and to the front of the Republican committee's office in New York City. It was the night before the election between Bush and Clinton.
Ooh.
And they had this march down there, and there was a really a famous speech out of that by a fellow named Bob Borowski from the activist movement. So anyway, this piece of art represents that. It's a political funeral. So, and then the other pieces are various depictions of people. One young artist, her name is Helen, painted Tom Silva. Who Tom was a chef on the island and lived in a bus with chickens and so on around the bus. And she painted a portrait of Tom. And on the portrait in the background, kind of, you can just kind of barely see these words, but there's a famous piece of art that was created in the part of the activist movement. And it basically says, just in words all the way across the thing, just all, No sentences, but just phrases. And it's like, if he were here, if he were alive today, he'd be here on Voice of Vashon Radio. If she were alive today, she'd be, you know, brushing her hair. If, you know, it's all like,
oh, that's beautiful.
And so that's all kind of in the background of this portrait. And yeah, it's very beautiful. It's very moving. And there are some students doing tiles. They're creating a tile version of a AIDS quilt. And they have all the different people that are that we've identified are represented in that, and that'll hang there too. And anyway, it's just, it's great stuff. Great stuff.
What have they said to you, if anything, about what they learned or what surprised them as young people learning about the AIDS epidemic, the political response to it, the government response or lack thereof to it?
We've had a few conversations about that. You know, principally, kind of when we were getting started, and they were shocked. We watched a film that's done by CNN, a really excellent film, a part of their series called The 80s, and the episode is called the Fight Against AIDS, and it covers the whole 1980s. Respect to AIDS, and it, you know, it just shows news stories and medical stories, and they were shocked. But that's just the only way that I can describe it. They were shocked about what they saw and what they heard, and just the way people were being talked about, and the, you know, the bigotry and the homophobia, and it shocked them. And so it was a great way to get started. And I've always been trying to find the perfect vehicle for that. I think I found it with that. It's just like, how do you show somebody, you know, and kind of encapsulate that time period? And this particular film does that very, very well. Because it's just all these news stories. And when you see some of these news stories, it's like, oh, yeah, I do, you know, like Tom Brokaw on the evening news saying for the first time, you know, CDC, you know, have these gay men who have this communicable form of cancer. You know, like, I can remember that.
Terrifying.
I can remember that. And, you know, all sorts of things. Just, you know, crazy propositions that when it happened in California by the LaRouche. Do you remember?
Yes.
Lyndon LaRouche? They had a Proposition 26 that wanted to quarantine as one of their part of their proposition was quarantine people with HIV and AIDS, and you know, the whole Ryan White incident, the young Ryan White who was a hemophiliac who lived in Kokomo, Indiana, contracted AIDS from a blood transfusion before the blood supply was, being able to be tested. And he was not allowed to go to school, and people were, just doing all sorts of, it was just a hateful, hateful thing. There was another hemophiliac in Florida, don't remember his name, whose family's house was burned down by people.
That is shocking.
So, it was just eye-opening for kids. And so it really gave them some motivation for, it gave them something kind of behind this idea, more behind creating this art than just, I'm remembering this person who died. And they had a real sense of what it might have been like and what kind of things were going on. The pain of it all.
It was like panic. Yeah. A time of panic.
Yeah, but one of the best things happened with the Riptide student newspaper. I was interviewed by two of the staff, two young women, and one of the young women who interviewed me was very, very serious and asked just really wonderful questions. And she said, I saw you in health class in middle school. You came in and did your play. I came into a health class in about 4 years ago and did a shortened version of my play for the health class.
Your play, the one-man show about your brother David.
Right.
Who died of AIDS.
And I said, oh, really? I asked her, well, what do you remember about that? And she said, well, I remember the story of how you found out your brother was gay. And I also remember how honest and heartfelt your stories were. And I was speechless.
And it seems as though you've brought that to this entire project. You're listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host for Real Talk, and I'm here with Peter Serko, who has produced a full month commemoration of World AIDS Day and how it affected our island, which is, of course, an encapsulation of the United States at the time. And we can do this thanks to the generosity of Windermere Real Estate, who supports all our community information programming and our emergency alert service. Peter Serko, what made you start this whole project?
lots of people have asked me that. And I guess my answer, this version of my answer is much like when I did my solo performance play based on my brother's life and kind of my experience with it, was I just had to do it. I couldn't not do it. I've wanted to do something around World AIDS Day. I just had this motivation. I wanted to do it for a number of years. I kept saying, I kept saying to Stephen Floyd at the high school, who was an AIDS activist, I kept saying, next year, let's do something for World AIDS Day. And so finally this year, I just said, I'm going to try to do something. And I sent a couple emails out to a few people, David Godsey at O-Space and Kevin Hofberg at VCA, just saying, hey, I'm interested in doing this. You guys want to be involved? And they said yes. And that was it.
I know they've both rallied behind this project.
It's been really wonderful, the support we've gotten. And in our first meeting, the first meeting that I had with David, I just made it up as I was talking with him. I just said, we're going to do a forum on Thursday. We're going to do an art exhibition on Friday. We're going to do a musical tribute of some type on Saturday. And then we're going to do a theatrical program on Sunday. So that was what I said. And that's what we're doing. It just all came together. And that's really to credit the Vashon community who's rallied around this. And
I've always felt that Vashon is a place where if you have an idea, you can always find someone to help you get it done. It may not look like Hollywood, but it will get done. So you named those four events. Those are the four events that are happening from your initial vision. Let's elaborate a little bit on those. Thursday is a forum. Who's on the forum? What are they going to talk about? And why did you start with a forum?
Well, it just seemed like I wanted to create four different events, knowing the fact that not everybody's going to want to go to a forum, not everybody's going to want to go to an art exhibition and or a play, but that by doing four very different things, we had a better chance of engaging people. So that was the idea with that. The forum is, we have five panelists that represent just a broad range of experience from Pastor Paul Mitchell here on the island, who has had done a lot of work in social justice and actually has had some exposure to the AIDS activist movement when he worked in New York City as an architect. Brian Knowles, who is the current executive director of Bailey Boucher House, which was the first AIDS hospice in the United States, now is generally a hospice, not because it's not just an AIDS hospice.
Is that in Seattle?
It's in Seattle. Yeah, yeah. And Stephen Silla is moderating that. Stephen was involved in founding that organization. Ann Lewis, who's on the panel, has been involved with community mobilization all over the world around AIDS and so on. Rebecca West is a researcher and HIV and AIDS educator in currently based in South Africa. And Rosette Royal is a journalist and activist who is working on the AIDS Memorial Pathway in Seattle. It's going to be a park dedicated to people who died of AIDS. So it's a real diverse panel, and we're going to live stream it on Facebook. And it's a community discussion, and we'll also have tables with a number of island organizations that'll be there. Backbone will be there. The QSA will be there. Dove will be there.
Showing Up for Racial Justice will be
there. Yeah. So it's going to be, I think it's just going to be a nice event. Yeah.
So are they going to provide a retrospective of the progress of AIDS?
What we're trying to do really with all of our things is inspire action in people. And what the forum is going to do is we're going to take a look back at the AIDS activist movement. It's called Stonewall to Border Wall. Mm-hmm. AIDS activism as a model for change in uncertain times.
That
title has evolved over time, but we've always had the Stonewall to Border Wall part of it. But we're trying to, how do we describe this? And there's a lot to be learned by the AIDS activist movement. It was a very successful movement in terms of changing attitudes, changing what happened in the government, changing how drugs are tested and approved. It was a very powerful movement, and it was the first movement of people who were suffering from some disease rising up and fighting back and fighting for what they needed. And I think there's a lot to be learned from what they did and applying to what we're facing today. That's why we're talking Stonewall.
So those of us who are suffering from the disease of discouragement,
right,
perhaps
right.
can use this as a model for activism.
Right. Right. So it is a kind of a template for activism and just how art was used and how they communicated, the kinds of things that they did. And so we're going to be looking at it, trying to apply what happened then. So it's not necessarily talking just always about what happened then, but just like how does it apply to what we're facing today? The whole issue of the border wall and the marginalization of people just all those issues that just continue to pop up day to day, and you're feeling like, what are we going to do? Well, this is going to talk about what might we do? And the idea is that one person can make a difference. And I've just seen it in just what I've been able to do, and now what some of these young people are doing. They're making a difference. These writers for the Riptide, they've made a difference. People are going to read this. Students are going to read these stories, and the editorial board has taken a strong stand, and it's a call to action. I mean, it's just amazing. When I saw it, I read it online, the articles, and I saw the paper at the high school yesterday, and when I saw the two-page spread of these articles, and then the one page editorial on the back. I became emotional. I just thought, oh my gosh.
You have made a difference.
I have made a difference. And I just, you know, they got it. They really took it seriously.
Well, these are tomorrow's leaders, so
yeah,
hopefully just, they can take what they've learned and do something with it.
Yeah, as I said last night on the radio, if we don't have anybody show up for any of the other events, and this if this is the only thing that happened, I would feel like, wow, it's been very successful. So.
Okay, so Thursday is the forum. Friday is the art exhibit. Is it just students, or are there other artists who will be shown?
No,
at
it's just
Vashon Center for
the Arts. It's just a student exhibit that'll be up for a month. So it's just our opening, and we'll also be there next Friday when they have the gallery cruise, the first Friday. We'll be there. Some of the students will be there, and so we'll be there again, and it'll be up for the entire. So it's a good time for us to be there because a lot of people will be coming through the gallery because their miniature show. Sure. It's a big show for the year. So
Night is
Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Tell us about that.
It's the musical tribute to Freddie Mercury, and we have a lineup of 6 or 7 island singers who are going to sing some Freddie Mercury songs and some other songs, and 2 bands that are going to back these singers up. And the Rev is going to be showing up, there'll be a little bit of information in the evening, but it's just going to be a party. We're gonna all sing together Bohemian Rhapsody at the end.
Oh, great. And you're encouraging costumes?
We're encouraging people to dress up as Freddie Mercury or Freddie Mercury like, and I may even dress up a little bit. Who knows?
You heard it here, folks. Peter Cirker will be in costume Saturday night.
Yeah, don't expect too much, but I'll leave it to Kevin Joyce to do that. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and so we're really hoping people come out. And it's a benefit for an organization called Gay City, which is a HIV counseling testing service in Seattle.
And can people get tickets at the door as well?
People can get tickets at the door or online. They're cheaper if you buy them online at openspacevashon.org. But yes, there are tickets at the door, and it starts at 7:00. All the events start at 7:00 except the opening of the art exhibit. And then on Sunday, we got the play.
Sunday, yeah. Tell us about that. The play is Normal Heart?
Yes. Yeah. Normal Heart was the first AIDS play. Appeared on New York City in 1985. It's written by Larry Kramer, who is the one of the founders of ACT UP, the AIDS activist group, and also Gay Men's Health Crisis, which was the first organizations that responded to the AIDS crisis in terms of providing services. And it tells the story of the early days of the AIDS epidemic in New York City. It's a really raw piece. It's about, you know, it's happening at the time when they just don't know what's causing it, how it's communicated, and just the medical response, the gay community response, the New York City response to it. And it's just a really powerful play. Very, very well regarded, very well received. It was an HBO special a couple of years ago. And the cast here on Vashon is just incredible. Just really incredible. I went to the first
director rehearsal. Charlotte Tinken has pulled together some of the finest actors.
Yeah, it's really, I was so impressed by the first rehearsal. You know, this is the first reading of this, and these actors were just putting it all into it. So that's going to be at O Space on
Sunday
night at 7, and it's free.
Okay, that's free. The forum on Thursday at Vashon High School, 7:00, is free.
Yep.
Friday night, of course, the art exhibit is free at Vashon Center for the Arts. The only fee required part of this event, of this 4-day commemoration, is the Saturday night.
Right, benefit.
Benefit. And the tickets are how much?
I can't tell you. I can't remember what.
Okay. As I recall, it's right around $10.
Yeah, No, they're not much. And
it's very reasonable.
And for anybody that doesn't have money and can't afford it, they can get in. That's nobody will be turned away.
So
it's kind of a classic
Saturday night.
It was a classic Vashon thing, but no, nobody will be turned away. So you know, come and let's have some fun and celebrate.
Thank you, Peter Cirko. Thank you for being here today on Real Talk, and thank you for all that you've done in commemoration of those who've been lost to AIDS, and the call to action, and the progress that has been made for AIDS as an example of progress perhaps toward other things that need to change. This has been Real Talk. Thanks for listening. I'm Susan McCabe, your host. We're here every Tuesday at lunchtime to answer questions large and small. And thanks to our theme composer, Luke McQuillan.